All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Red and White Podcast. Don't change the channel. Don't turn us off. I'm your host, Matt Coe. Evan is sitting this one out. I am here with Kyle from Gambling Gauchos. Kyle, how are we doing?
I was doing better before I screwed up our first run at this, so hopefully this...
It's all good, man. I love it. Well, for all the listeners at home that don't really know too much about Texas Tech, what is the fans thinking over there? What are we thinking about NC State?
Yeah, it definitely depends on who you ask. I think a segment of our fan base certainly saw how the Wolfpack played in the ACC tournament last week. And, you know, there's something to be said for getting hot at the right time and teams entering March with a lot of momentum. And NC State is kind of the premier example of that this year, it seems. But, you know, if you kind of take out last week's run and look at the broader sample size, I mean, I think it's fair to say that NC State was not going to be in line for an at-large bid. And so, you know, had you asked me a week ago, hey, you're going to play NC State in the first round, I probably would have said, yeah, sign me up. And then seeing, you know, after they beat Duke, Virginia, UNC on a neutral court, it's like, well, now I'm not so sure if I want a piece of those guys. A big part of it, too, from a Texas Tech fan perspective, is the health of our own roster. And, you know, kind of regardless of opponent, we've got a couple of really key guys that I think are going to be game-time decisions. Darion Williams, kind of a do-it-all forward, probably the best player on this team. And then Warren Washington, our only true big man, who we've actually been without for close to a month, I think, with a foot injury. He had a boot taken off, looked like he was practicing today. Not sure what kind of shape he's in, but without him, we've got a couple of stretch fours kind of trying to play center. So he's an important piece, even if he's not able to, you know, give a full workload. If he could play 12 or 16 minutes even, that would go a long way. So I think a lot of it depends on those two guys' status and sort of some mixed feelings about NC State, just because, you know, for the bulk of the regular season, maybe didn't look like a tournament.
Yeah, a bulk of the season is putting it lightly. They had to pull off a miracle, and they absolutely did. You know, it's all about getting hot in March, you know, guard play and getting hot at the right time. And I don't think there's a single team in the country that is as hot as the NC State Wolfpack. That tip-off is going to be tomorrow night, Thursday night at 9:40 in Pittsburgh. NC State is all rested up. Does the Cinderella effect, you know, kind of scare you this time in March? I mean, you know, you don't want to play a really hot team. And like I said, NC State's just on a roll.
Yeah, again, I think it goes both ways a little bit. NC State, I saw NC State topped a top 10 list today of, like, you know, best candidates to be America's team in March. I saw y'all are picked in Joe Biden's bracket to go to the Sweet 16. You know, so I think there is this, like, you know, we're about to, if we win, we're going to, like, knock off everybody's fan favorite and, you know, kind of ruin this, you know, good story that's going on. Y'all are the most bet on team to reach the Sweet 16, which from a gambling perspective, that actually kind of makes me feel good, because hopefully the books wouldn't take that large of a handle on a team if they weren't, you know, pretty sure that, you know, they weren't actually going to advance that far. So, you know, if you talk to Tech fans that like playing the villain, like playing the spoiler role, I think, you know, they probably relish in that a little bit. But yeah, I think outside of Lubbock and maybe Chapel Hill, I think most people are going to be rooting for the Wolfpack, and it can be dangerous to play a team that feels like they've got that much momentum and that much support. So, very strange dynamic. I mean, NC State, one of the more unique teams in the tournament just based on how they got there. And so it is a little bit kind of weird, and, you know, feels like...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned NC State being the number one upset pick of the country right now. And I think a lot of that is the DJ Burns effect. A lot of people are falling in love with the big man down low. And, you know, he's a special talent. He really is. He has the footwork of somebody I've never even seen before, yet he can back you down. I think that matchup, if Warren Washington is going to play, is going to be the one that a lot of people are going to focus on. Warren Washington, for the folks at home, is 7 feet tall, 225. He's a big old dude. And I know that from time to time, DJ Burns has struggled with specifically height down low. So if he is even at, you know, 80 or 90%, I think it's going to be a great matchup. Another matchup that I really like is Pop Isaacs against DJ Horn. Pop Isaacs is a really, really nice player. Before that Houston game, that disaster of a Houston game, no offense, Pop Isaacs was averaging over... Yeah, they're a great team. Nobody's going to, you know, put you guys down for losing to Houston. Isaacs was averaging over 20 points per game the last three games leading into that. Are you worried at all? Because I know he can be a little streaky from time to time. Are you worried at all with Pop Isaacs against DJ Horn?
Yes. I don't know what happened, but late in the game against Texas, which was also an ass-kicking, before the Big 12 tournament against Houston, that was the last game this team lost, something happened. Like, you know, terrible performance that night, but since then, if you look at T-Rank, I think Texas Tech, since March 1st, like 8th or 9th nationally in overall team efficiency, the defensive efficiency got a lot better and, you know, beat some good teams. Like, you know, put a pretty good number on Baylor at home, beat BYU, which I think is a little bit of an underrated team going into March in the Big 12 tournament. And so it looks like they found something. And again, that was without Warren Washington for that entire stretch. But Pop Isaacs, yeah, when he's on, great shooter, pretty much unlimited range. I mean, he takes NBA plus range threes, but he is inconsistent and he is streaky. A lot of our offensive identity is shooting the three. We've got some really good three-point shooters. Kerwin Walton, a UNC transfer, actually, at one point in the season was actually number one in three-point field goal percentage, you know, above a certain number of attempts. I'm not sure if he's still there, but I think he's at like 47, 48%. I mean, elite three-point shooter. Chance McMillan hovering right around 40%. Darion Williams is above 40%. And actually, if you took out Pop Isaacs, who shoots a lot and misses a lot, this team would rank sixth nationally in three-point percentage if you took out all of Isaacs' volume. So, again, when he's on and he's contributing to that three-point prowess, really hard team to stop because you've got so many guys on the court that can shoot from three. When he's off, however, though, that does kind of drag down our overall numbers. So I do think a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Kerwin Walton shooting 47%. From the three-point line, elite numbers. You know, we always knew that he could shoot when he was at Carolina, but never really seemed to, I guess, break through the mold because there's just so much talent on that Tar Heel team year in and year out. Clearly, he's found a home with Texas Tech. You know, you mentioned the three-point shooting. NC State is shooting 34.6% from three. That's 143rd in the country. And we like to pride ourselves on shooting a lot of threes. Well, Texas Tech is 36.5. That's inside the top 50. A little nugget for a lot of you fans listening at home. Out of the 12 Big 12 wins, Texas Tech has shot 35% or better in 8 of those 12 wins. 2 of those wins, they shot just under, right at 33%. So if the shots are falling, my money will probably be on Texas Tech. They are an elite three-point shooting team. Is there anybody else that, you know, maybe is an X factor for you guys that doesn't really get a whole lot of love?
So we've had I think Darion Williams certainly became that over the last 4 to 6 weeks of the season. A guy who came in with a lot of potential. He was the Mountain West Conference Freshman of the Year last season. And I think this year that conference proved how great the basketball is top to bottom out there. So he came in with you know, a lot of raw talent, but really became an efficient player going back to the Kansas game. We beat Kansas by 29 points, by the way. We love to remind everybody of that. I know it's a down year for Kansas, but it still says Kansas across the front of their jerseys. And so beating a program by that, like that by 29 is pretty cool.
Hey, I completely understand. I get it.
But he went a perfect – I think he was 12 for 12 or 13 for 13 from the field that day. Just insanely efficient, and that was kind of a microcosm of how efficient he became really throughout February and into March. So – in terms of X factors, I mean, he's one of the best rebounders on the team. He's probably the best all-around scorer on the team. And if he's either limited by injury or can't play at all, that's going to be a huge blow to this team. So he's one for sure. And then I'd say Chance McMillan is the other. Not quite as streaky as Pop Isaacs, but does have some boom or bust to his game. And, man, when his shot is falling, if he's a 15, 20-point scorer tomorrow, I think that bodes really well for Texas Tech. Also has some, you know, explosive athleticism, so he kind of makes some of those momentum shifting plays with a, you know, a big slam dunk or something like that. So I would say those are two guys.
Yeah. Do you feel that the offense runs through Pop Isaacs? Because I've done a little bit of research through you guys, and there's nothing that you guys do. Don't take this wrong way. I don't think you guys do anything elite per se, but you guys just do a whole lot of really good. You guys don't really have a super weak point, but you also don't have a super strong point. You guys are just a solid team through and through, top to bottom. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment. We don't have a true calling card like BYU with the three, or certain teams with the tempo they use. Kind of just a little bit average or above average in several different respects, and no glaring weaknesses. We did struggle on the boards for a while, kind of in the middle of the season, but it seems like they've cleaned that up a little bit. So yeah, I would say a lot of it runs through Isaacs. Joe Toussaint is a guy with a lot of experience. I think year five playing college basketball, Iowa, West Virginia, then Texas Tech. I do think this offense is at its best when he is getting to the bucket, whether that's drawing fouls, distributing, or scoring. We've kind of seen him do a little bit of all three at different points in the season. So he's another guy to watch. I think the ball will be in his hands a lot. I think they're going to lean into his experience and age and maturity. And so I would say a lot of it's going to run through him as well. But yeah, Pop Isaacs is definitely going to kind of get his volume of shots too. So I would say really it goes through both guards pretty heavily.
Yeah, in the Duke and NC State game, the first one, not the one in the ACC tournament, we saw NC State constantly go back to DJ Burns, backing them down, trading twos for threes. It just was a trap that NC State couldn't seem to get out of. Texas Tech allows their opponents to shoot 32.1%, which is inside the top 100 in the country. In games where NC State shoots equal to or less than 32%, they're 7-4. So I think, honestly, I do think, NC State's going to try to pull it from three, as they've been shooting the ball pretty well. I still think the offense is going to go through DJ Burns. Have you guys, is there anybody in the Big 12 that you can think of, or in the country that matches up like him, or are you going to see some double team possibly? Because that's been an ongoing thing in the ACC where a lot of teams just aren't sure how to guard him.
I don't know if we've played anybody like that in terms of trying to double team them. There are a lot of Big 12 teams, good Big 12 teams that, I think their offense is, that their identity is shooting the three. And we've played some teams like that recently, like with Baylor and BYU. They both like to do that. And our defensive efficiency has, it kind of randomly got a lot better toward the tail end of the season. So I don't know if that means we're better at defending those types of offenses, or maybe it's just coincidence. But I like to think if that is NC State's style of play, that hopefully they're seeing stuff on film that looks kind of familiar to what maybe Baylor and BYU for the Texas
Yeah.
Tech defense.
Yeah. So I'm curious. This is just kind of me personally asking. For NC State fans, we haven't had an ACC championship in 37 years. You had grown men, including myself, crying at the idea of a championship. Actually, and to this day, it still doesn't feel real. What's it like with Texas Tech? Or, because in my opinion, I see them more as a football school. Is that the same case for you guys? Are you guys kind of even Stevens? Like, what's the overall feel on the basketball program?
That's a great question, and I was actually just talking about this to another Texas Tech fan at lunch today. Kind of depends on the era when you were in school, but for a decade we had Mike Leach as a head football coach, and didn't reach the same heights that other similar programs reached. Like we never broke through in the same way that like TCU or Clemson, or like Clemson before Dabo, in terms of winning like a New Year's Six or winning the conference. But he had his fair share of wins against Texas, OU, A&M when they were in the conference, Nebraska when they were in the conference, some big time bowl wins. And so anybody who kind of came up in that era, like it was definitely a football school. And we were hurting really across the board in the athletics department in the 3 or 4 years after Leach's firing. Basketball was no good. I mean, it like wasn't even a thing with me and my friends on campus. We didn't go to basketball games. Like we couldn't tell you one player on the team back then. My freshman year, they won one Big 12 basketball game. And so I think back then they played 16. That started to change when Tubby Smith took over. We became really competitive at home. And even when we weren't a tournament team, we were either beating ranked opponents in Lubbock or taking them to the wire. And that's when you saw kind of the fan engagement pick back up. Football was still pretty bad at that time. And it's still kind of climbing its way out. But when Tubby left, Chris Beard came in and, of course, took basketball to historic heights. Elite Eight, and then kind of flattened out a little bit after that, and into the COVID year, they were pretty firmly on the bubble during COVID when the tournament didn't happen. The next year, they go back and lose in the second round. During that Tubby Smith to Chris Beard era, a lot of them would tell you like the basketball games are a bigger deal than the football games. So it kind of depends on the generation of fan. So, you know, our lives revolve around Friday Night Lights and for the high school game, tailgating all day and watching college for Cowboys or Texans on Sunday. But yeah, basketball is right up there now. I would say it's like pretty 50-50. Cool.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. You know, there's an ongoing thing, and it's actually kind of ironic that we pulled Texas Tech, because there's an ongoing thing on the Red and White podcast where Evan has time in and time out, you know, leading into the season has been like, why can't we just be a Texas Tech? Why can't we just be, you know, not horrible, but like really good at times and not really have our expectations just through the roof, but we can still manage to get there. I know that he's probably wanting me to ask that to you. So I just find it kind of ironic that, you know, we win our ACC championship. And I bet if you ask a whole lot of NC State fans right now, I'm sure some of them are like, yeah, I mean, I want to keep winning in March. But as far as the ACC championship, everybody's pretty like, all right, let's just play with house money and just see what we got. Because I'll be honest, I think out of all the six seeds, I think Texas Tech is easily the toughest one. I think we really got a really, really tough little, if you want to break it down, our little section right there, because the winner of Oakland and Kentucky, I mean, neither one of those are an easy matchup either. Kentucky with just the most elite offense in all of the country, probably waiting for you in the next round, which I'm on the fence about picking Oakland. I really am. You know, what's like an expectation as a Texas Tech fan for state fans? You know, we just want to get to the tournament every year. That should be an expectation, a real goal that we can achieve with, you know, maybe an ACC championship here and there. What's it like for a Texas Tech basketball fan?
It may sound a little bit optimistic for outsiders, but Texas Tech, I think over the last 6 years since 2018 when they made that first Elite Eight, has demonstrated they do have a pretty high ceiling. And yeah, it takes a special year to get to the Elite Eight, to the Final Four, but they've done that. Chris Beard chose to leave for Texas, but at the time we were offering him, it wasn't because of money. I mean, he would have been a top five highest paid coach in the country. Our home arena seats 15,000 plus people. The practice facility right next door is brand new, state of the art. We're very competitive in NIL. And Grant McCasland, if it weren't for some other elite coaches in the Big 12, early in the season, he was actually getting some national coach of the year consideration, but the three head coaches before McCasland all won Big 12 coach of the year. I think it's a good job. I think it's one with a really high ceiling, and with the amount of fan engagement and monetary investment, I do think NCAA tournament should kind of be the standard. And I think Grant McCasland kind of validated that this year. I mean, we've had some key injuries, three different starters all missed time. One of them missed all of conference play. Like I said, we've been without Warren Washington for about a month now, and, you know, kind of took over a toxic program that had basically just fired its last head coach, had to totally rebuild the roster from scratch, playing in the toughest conference in the country, in my opinion. And he still gets us to a six seed in year one. And so from that standpoint, I think he's already overachieved year one, and like kind of whatever happens in the NCAA tournament is just icing on the cake. But I think it also speaks to, if you've got the right person leading this program, like NCAA tournament should be the bar. And most season, when we get there, we should expect to, you know, start winning some games in March. And we've seen that ceiling can be as high as Sweet 16, Elite Eight, maybe even five.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty fair. You know, you had mentioned coach in year one, you know, he's really, you know, I don't want to necessarily say overachieve, because I don't think that's an accurate word, but he's doing a great job at the end of the day. And we saw that with our head coach, Kevin Keats, who, I mean, he had to win the championship to save his job, and he did. And we were not shy about this on the Red and White Pod. You know, we fully expected them to get bounced in the first or second round, and we were going to be ready to go on the coaching carousel. So he saved his job. So it's kind of a weird time for Texas Tech and NC State to meet, because, I mean, look, they won the championship. You know, I waved the white flag, but I'd be willing to bet that, you know, the three or four teams before them, you know, that I can think of off the top of my head with Kevin Keats, probably had a better chance to win the ACC championship. You know, let's say you guys move on or you don't or whatever, you know, what's your real expectation going to this season or this tournament, excuse me? How far do you have Texas Tech going?
I think, if you had asked me 3 months ago and said, hey, you're going to be playing in the NCAA tournament, I would have said, yeah, I'll take that any day of the week with no additional expectations. But hopefully getting Warren Washington back and being the higher seed, being favored in Vegas, it does kind of – you start to get greedy and go, okay, yeah, it'd be really nice to win one while we're here. And then I view the second-round game and – you know, as a fan, which we know is short for fanatic, I'm sure I'll adjust expectations in an unhealthy way if we do face Kentucky. But the way I view it now is like that's a game with zero downside. If you lose to Kentucky, nobody cares. Like you're supposed to lose.
Is
to
what
Kentucky.
It is.
If you beat Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, like it becomes one of the biggest wins in program history. So I view that as like an all upside matchup. And if we lose, we still won an NCAA tournament game in year one with a new head coach. So that's kind of my thought on it is like it would be a little bit disappointing to lose now that we've gotten this far and you are favored. But had you asked me, you know, 3 months ago, would I be happy with a first round exit? I would have said, yeah, that probably exceeds what we'll be able to do this year. So I'm really happy with the job McCaslin has done in year one. And if we do lose in the first round to NC State, probably going to be pretty bummed. But putting it into bigger perspective, I think it's still been a very successful season.
Yeah, I totally respect that. Like I said, it's so funny that these two teams meet because the ongoing conversation with Keats is that he needs to win in March. He's been twice, hasn't won, and there was a lot of apathy around the program, a lot of bleak, and the outlook just was not there. And so, I think we need to win this game. I understand, like, winning an ACC championship, especially in the fashion that they did, I think that is incredible, and I don't want to just blow that off. But the argument is still there about Keats when it comes to other things. You know, he did the impossible, and I'll get off his back, but at the end of the day, like, you got to win in March, and he hasn't yet. What are some other thoughts that you might have about NC State? I know we talked about DJ Burns – talked about DJ Horn. Is there anybody else that that you guys have talked about or, you know, maybe been like, that guy, we got to watch him?
Well, I'm curious, you know, something that I looked at, I always try to look at things optimistically. And so as great of a run as NC State went on last week in the ACC tournament, I'm like trying to find weak points. And like even in y'all's best stretch since the calendar turned to March, the defensive efficiency ratings on T-Rank, I think y'all are still like 123rd, 136th nationally in defensive efficiency, which isn't terrible out of 300-plus teams, but it's also not great or elite. And so to see that, I guess, I don't know, that they were performing not at a super high level defensively while they were beating these good teams and winning these games in March, what is the idea defensively? Like, if it is working correctly – I'm curious what that is supposed to look like and kind of the types of offenses.
Look, defense is not a thing here at NC State over the years. It's all about turnovers. That's if I'm going to put it in lamest terms, like we force turnovers and that's how we're going to win. If we're hitting our shots and we're turning you over, we got a real fighting chance. Excuse me. One thing that we do really well is not turn the ball over. Now you guys force 11.5 turnovers per game, which is just outside the top 200. So you guys aren't really, I would hope that you guys aren't, you know, going to force the ball out of our hands too many times. That'd be very uncharacteristic for both teams, but it's all about turnovers. It's all about getting in transition for us. But defense is not our strong suit.
Okay. Another question I have, part of this team's identity, I could show you the screenshots because I've been collecting them all year, but you know, if you follow ESPN and their BPI, like in-game win probability, we've won like four Big 12 games where we had like an 85% chance or higher to lose. Some of them have been like 96% chance to lose, you know, we're trailing by 19 points, and then they come back and win, and like they've done it at home, they've done it on the road. They've done it against teams that wound up making the tournament. So like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if NC State got up by 15 in this game and then Texas Tech made it a ball game again. So I guess what I'm asking, what I'm getting at is like, has NC State had, have they experienced either side of that coin with like tremendous comebacks or like,
So there's I wish I could remember this page. He basically breaks down on this graph. I'm sure you've seen the videos of him where he just has all the teams and how they match up and stuff. And one of his talking points, I wish I could remember his handle. It was talking about who has the most 10 run leads, like
Yeah,
how many
kill
times it can
shots.
they. Yeah, kill shots. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you guys were kind of really far left there.
Yeah,
You know, you guys don't really go on these.
we're labeled a suspect team on that graph because
Right. Yeah, and that's what's funny is because over the years, at least, NC State has gone on runs without scoring points. You know, that was an ongoing thing. Now, this year, at least as far as the tournament goes, how they're playing right now in this moment, they've been able to sustain leads, come back, stop the bleeding when necessary. But it's just all about what kind of team is going to show up, man. I mean, they played quite literally a perfect game against Carolina. I had not seen that all season from them. That tournament team, you know, they said, Coach Keats said that, you know, we're going to lock in. And they quite literally showed up as a different team. I don't know what exactly they were doing different. I know that they shortened their rotation, which has been a really big problem. It was like well into February, and we still didn't know who our starting five was. It was this back and forth with Michael O'Connell, Jaden Taylor, one of our freshmen, Dennis Parker Jr. You know, he sat out because he was sick, and you know, for a minute there, he was a nice little player. He kind of hit that freshman wall. It's been this ongoing carousel, and so for whatever reason, they just kind of turned it on. But as far as like as runs go, I think a lot of it has to do with Casey Morsell. I think Casey Morsell's defense, his on ball defense really took a turn, and it really got highlighted, especially in that Carolina game. To me, he's become that X factor. I view Casey Morsell as more of a third or fourth option, which is why he's kind of struggled a little bit this year because we don't have as many elite scorers as we did last year. But as long as he's hitting shots, I definitely think NC State could possibly go on a run for sure.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it on one hand you hate to give up those runs. Like the comebacks are thrilling and they're exciting, but you know, you want to take a huge drag of a cigarette when those games are over 'cause they're stressful as hell. So I would love to just beat opponents, you know, and then lead wire to wire, but that is not what this team has done all year. I mean,
Yeah.
they make it incredibly stressful. So anyway, all that to say, if there's a huge margin at halftime, don't count us out because we've come back from that
Yeah.
repeatedly this year.
Yeah, from everything that I've seen, you guys are a 5-point favorite right now as it stands the night before the game. Gonna ask you a couple more things and then we'll get you out of here. Tell me the one thing that you're worried about when it comes to Texas Tech. Like, what is one thing that you guys just do not do well that can expose you guys?
Like I said, they've cleaned this up a little bit toward the end of the year, but in for large stretches, like back in January and February, we would get severely out-rebounded, particularly when it came to offensive boards. And so even when we were playing pretty quality defense, opposing teams were getting two, three, even four shots up. It's incredibly frustrating. Like, you know, the opponent would be in the bonus, they would miss the front end of a 1-1, get the rebound off the free throw, and then still score 2 points. And so you're zooming out on that possession, you go, huge opportunity there. They missed the front end of a 1-1, and yet they still got 2 points. So I would say that would be kind of the big red flag, especially if Warren Washington can't go. Again, he's our only true big man. If NC State's a good rebounding team and you'll have a +8, +12 margin on the boards, one, it wouldn't surprise me. And two, I think it would generate a ton of second chance opportunities for y'all that, you know, might do us in a game with a, you know, a not too big spread. And 5 points is pretty manageable for the underdog. That's not a huge upset if it happens. And you know, if y'all pull it off and win by 4 or 6 points and you outdo us by 12 or 16 in second chance points, I think that could kind of be like the factor.
Yeah, Mo Diarra set an ACC tournament record with 60 rebounds. That's your guy that you're going to look at crashing the boards.
I hate to
Texas
hear
Tech has
that.
won four of their, Yeah, no, he had a great tournament. Texas Tech won four of their last five games when they won the rebound margin. They actually out rebounded Houston, but you know it's Houston. Nobody's gonna shame you for losing to those guys. All right, give me your champion of the NCAA tournament, and then we'll get you out of here.
You know, I only filled out one bracket. I didn't want to be that guy who picked 12 different combos in the final four. And the way I do it, I pick each game, each round. Like, I don't go into it thinking I'm going to pick this team to win. And with the upsets I picked and everything, Arizona had a really good path to the final four. I don't want to pick UConn to repeat, and Houston seems like kind of the chalk favorite. So I have Arizona winning it all, which I don't love that pick at all. I know they've kind of been bounced early on pretty often, at least in recent memory. So, of course, last year they lost to Princeton in the first round. So I don't love that pick, but when it was all said and done, they were the last man standing. So I've got Arizona winning it all, but I wouldn't, of course, be shocked at all if they...
Yeah, I respect it, man. Caleb Love and Arizona, they are playing some good basketball. Well, look, man, good luck tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be a great game. Tip is at 9:40, Texas Tech 6 seed against NC State, the 11 seed. Winner of this game gets the winner of Kentucky versus Oakland. Kyle, thank you so much for sitting down with us here at the Red and White Pod. Good luck to you guys, man.
Thank you. I'll say one more quick thing if I can.
What's up?
Wanted to let y'all know from Texas Tech fans how much we appreciated NC State as host for the football game a couple years ago. Everybody that I know that went said NC State fans are great. The atmosphere was incredible. And then, of course, our linebacker, Bryce Ramirez, had a really bad leg injury. And the word we got back home was that he was well taken care of. And so I think a lot of Texas Tech fans, when they met NC State fans, saw, you know, it was kind of like looking in a mirror. And y'all have a lot of people in Lubbock that respect and like NC State when we're not playing each other. So in that sense, it was kind of a bad draw because y'all were that Cinderella story and like a team that we all would have rooted for if they were on the other side of the bracket. So I kind of hate that we're playing y'all because a lot of folks in Lubbock really like NC State.
Hey, well, I really do appreciate that, man. Yeah, you guys seem like cool people too. We don't got any problems with y'all, so let's just have a good game, you know. We're going to see what happens. Y'all be sure to follow Red and White Pod on Twitter. And as always, go Pack.